Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3:06 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is June 14th, and there was a lot of movement intraday, but when we then just look at closing values, it didn't look like an awful lot. Certainly, we've had a move in Treasury yields. So last week, the yield compressed pretty steadily on the back of news that inflation was rising. So I think that kind of conundrum was something that puzzled a lot of people. But the reality is that there are inflationary pressures, but generally not where people are looking. And this is particularly true of the kind of inflation that central bankers pay attention to. So there was a lot of headlines earlier on this year about the spike in lumber prices. Well, lumber now is back below $1,000, so this is a significant peak, and we see a significant correction underway, and it has clearly broken the uptrend. So I think it is rational to start talking about lumber having peaked, and this is probably a medium-term peak. It might be quite a few years before we see the peak put in earlier this year surmounted. I'm going to put up just the front month chart of soybeans. So the prices have been rallying pretty impressively over the course of the last year, up from about 850 and change to a peak recently in the region of about 1450. So that's a big move in a staple commodity. And there's been a lot of talk about the fact that the western USA is in critical drought conditions, and that there are significant drought conditions in Brazil as well. So you're talking about two major commodity producers, and that drought is also factoring down into Argentina as well. But drought conditions have to persist, and then persist for an extraordinarily long time, and also that the rainy season has to fail entirely in order to put extraordinary damage on a crop. And we are starting to see some better weather coming through. So when we look at, for example, some of the commodities that are very influenced by what happens in Brazil, well, sugar prices were off their lows in here today, and it remains an uptrend overall, but it's a modest uptrend, particularly relative to the speed that we've seen other commodities rally at. Then the other one that's very dependent on what happens in Brazil is Arabica coffee. And when we think about the uptrend here, well, it's a clear base formation completion, but prices are moderating. So there is at least some pause and consolidation going on. It doesn't look yet to be anything other than some pause and consolidation, but it is suggestive that the drought conditions that have received so much media attention are not nearly as pressing as they might be. That doesn't, of course, mean that they can't get worse, but just a little rain at the right time of the year can have a significant effect on the health of a crop. And of course, there's also Taiwan, and the drought that they're having is having a knock-on effect for the supply of semiconductors. But the semiconductors index was in positive territory today, and it is right now back in the region of the upper side of the range that's persisted for most of this year. So this is still looking like a reasonably benign environment, although I continue to be of the view that it's going to be very difficult to improve upon the kind of growth they put in 2020. But when we look at some of the better performers like Nvidia, then it has clearly broken out of a well-defined range, and it continues to improve upon that performance. So there is certainly and a small number of clear outperformers that are that continue to benefit from the current environment. Well, semiconductor prices are rising, so that does feed through into consumer prices, and food prices have risen, but there is the potential for food prices to moderate. Lumber prices added a significant cost to building new homes, and that is certainly moderating. So We can then just look at the three of those and say, well, certainly there's been some pause in consolidation. And then we can think about home builders, and home builders remain weaker. They rallied spectacularly on the back of higher lumber prices, but then lumber started cutting into demand for new housing, and yet the home builder sector continued to rally. So I think that's a better that's a clear example of the ETF being used as a proxy for the commodity. But lower lumber prices and higher property prices are a recipe for rather benign environments for home builders. So I think there is the potential here that the home builders are less likely to fall in a big way. When we then think about the other kinds of inflation that are out there, what I think is particularly relevant is that the dirty tanker index is actually breaking downwards. So we are seeing more demand for long-term contracts. Some of the big consumers of very large super tankers are locking in prices for 3 years out, and that would suggest that they don't think that prices are going to be coming down very much over the next 3 years, and they're snapping up availability while they can. But oil prices are still quite steady, and we're in additional positive territory in here today, although off the highs, and clearly holding this move above the $70 area. And as long as it is holding the breakout, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt. Of course, the challenge for oil is the cost of the regulatory burden continues to rise. One thing that I find particularly interesting is the commentary that's continuing to surround natural gas. We can think about the significant investments that companies made in natural gas over the course of the last decade. Royal Dutch Shell bought BG, and then Exxon has been producing more gas than oil for really quite a long time, and that was the fossil fuel sector's way of investing in alternatives and reducing their geopolitical exposure, concentrating on more politically secure areas, and then also ensuring that they were supplying a fuel that would contribute to less carbon emissions. And now they're being vilified because they continue to produce natural gas and that they're flaring gas. And we've even had new laws in Texas about how much gas can be flared. And in Australia and in other countries, there's talk about the sustainability of this industry in the face of the onslaught and the continued political support for renewable energy. And it's interesting that natural gas prices are continuing to push higher and are now right at the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 8 or 9 months. And this looks like a constructive chart pattern overall within what is effectively a more than decade-long base formation. And even then, we're at the lower, still at the lower side of that base formation. When we look then at the ESG sector and at the significant demand for ESG resources, or for, and I'm going to just refer to it as the rubber stamp, that if you want to start a new mine or a new extractive industry project, then you have to go around and get your rubber stamps. So you've got to get sign off from the ESG community that you're going to remediate the location where you're going to provide or try to get your resources out of the ground. You're going to have to get rubber stamped by the local community and provide well-paying jobs, and then also have respect for indigenous cultures. Then you're going to have to get the rubber stamp of the local government. Then you're going to have to get the rubber stamp for your carbon emissions, and you'll have to have a plan for how you're going to run your operation on renewables. So this has always been the the way that extractive industries have gone about their business, but the regulatory burden continues to rise, and that hurdle to getting an operation into production continues to rise. So the cost of getting a mine into operation, getting an oil rig or a gas rig into operation is growing increasingly high. And of course, the investors in the extractive industry, they'll be looking back at their experience with natural gas, because natural gas was a decade ago heralded as the transition fuel and as the fuel that was worth holding on to, because or to develop and to invest in, because it was the green fossil fuel. And that kind of rationale just does not pass muster any longer. And if you're an investor in the extractive industry and you've been burned by this kind of transition in the logic, well, you might be encouraged to demand that whatever you invest in future has all of those rubber stamps, so that the investment or that there aren't going to be future ramifications from litigation out there on the horizon that you never envisaged. So what it means is that the marginal cost of production is going to rise. And this is why the LME Metals Index remains really quite firm. And it continues to be led higher by things like copper. Now, copper was unchanged again in here today, and it's gone nowhere really for the last 8 or 9 days. But over the last year, there's been a clear staircase sequence uptrend, and as long as it's doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And copper is the best candidate for a secular bull market as we look at what the demand for the renewable energy sector is overall. Now, when we look at stock markets, well, there's still a lot of concern about what's going to happen in terms of the Federal Reserve's meeting on Wednesday. I continue to think that there's just going to be no news, but there's still a lot of trading around going on with regard to that idea, because obviously, we've had this spectacular move in some of the meme stocks. We've had the really accelerated move in Bitcoin. We've had a significant economic recovery. Housing prices have risen. Valuations are on the higher side. So central banks might have the rationale that it would be a good time to start thinking about potentially starting to taper their assistance, but then we have to look at what the reality is, and that financial asset prices doing well is only really half of the equation. There are still millions of people unemployed. There are massive uncertainties about what is going to happen when the assistance that's been provided to unemployed people is removed. And that represents a bigger challenge for the USA than it does for everywhere else, because the US decided that they were going to support or they were going to support companies by allowing them to fire people and then support those fired people, whereas Europe went the other way and supported the companies so they wouldn't have to fire people. So there's less uncertainty about the end of the assistance programs in Europe than there is in the USA. And I think that is probably also contributing to the continued outperformance of ex-US assets. So the Euro Stoxx Index continues to push on the upside. The FTSE 250 has got a pretty similar pattern overall and is continuing to hold this breakout to new highs. When we think about the Mittelstand in Germany, the MDAX is pushing on to new highs as well. And then we have the commodity producers, which will be key beneficiaries from a commodity-led bull market. So Australia is continuing to push on the upside. I was on a conference call this morning with someone who's got intimate knowledge of silver, and there are rumors flooding around in Australia about the lack of silver at the Perth Mint. And the reality is that they are relying on imports at the moment because most of the domestic supply it does not go to the Perth Mint. And then with gold, they have plenty of gold, but they're not fulfilling retail orders. They're choosing instead to fulfill commercial orders. So it was an interesting day in the precious metals. Silver prices have been locked in this range over the last 2 weeks, and they've been holding the region at the upper side of the almost 10-month range in a very orderly fashion. And we have a clear succession of higher reaction lows, and it is continuing to hold the region of the trend mean on each one of those somewhat larger corrective phases. And then we can think about every time it gets up towards 30. There have been two occasions, one in August and one in February, and it came down with a bang on both those occasions, whereas on this occasion it looks to be rather better supported. And this period of extremely inert trading isn't going to last indefinitely. And then we had a very similar intraday pattern on gold, and it rebounded today from the region of the simple moving average. So it was in negative territory. But again, these clear downward dynamics that we saw in November and January, they would have scared a lot of people, and a lot of people would have been thinking, well, golly, that's what happened last time, so maybe I should be taking profits up here. So the modest reaction that we've had around this level was to be expected. But so far, that's all it's been. It's just been a modest consolidation, which would suggest that people are still buying. And then we can think about the ETF holdings. There was a lot of concern about ETF holdings when they broke below the trend mean back in March. But the rate has started to turn around. And it hasn't quite yet been able to break back above the trend mean. There have been occasions like back in early 2017 and in 2018 when it has traded below the trend mean. But if it can push back above that green line, well, that would be certainly a vote of confidence from investors that gold is on the mend. I continue to think that that is the most likely scenario overall. Then platinum prices were in positive territory and bouncing from the lower side of the 4-month range in here today. This continues to look like a first step above that base formation. And platinum is one of the cheaper precious metals out there. And I think this is really one of the more attractive patterns out there with a very well-defined first step above the base. And of course, then we have gold miners, where it has clearly broken the downward bias and now starting to steady from above the trend mean. So again, a benign environment overall. Well, when we think about commodity currencies, well, the Australian dollar continues to steady, and this looks like a consolidation. There's obviously a little resistance around the 80-cent level, but it doesn't look like anything other than a brief consolidation overall. And we can think about the Canadian dollar as well, where it does have a short-term overbought condition, but again, this doesn't look like anything other than just brief resistance around the 120 area. I think the big currency pair that's of interest is the dollar yen. The Japanese just don't want a strong currency, and the dollar is appreciating against it. And this looks like an orderly consolidation. It hasn't quite yet been able to break the sequence of lower rally highs, but I think Japan probably at this stage wants a weaker currency, perhaps even more than the USA does. So there is the potential here that the yen will break downwards. And if that's the case, well, then the Nikkei should do better in nominal terms, and the price was in positive territory today, and it is clearly now firming from above the region of the trend mean. The CSI 300 in China was in negative territory, but not in an especially dynamic manner, and this continues to look like firming from the region of the trend mean. Then the Brazilian real was among the stronger currencies out there today, and the Bovespa was also in positive territory. And it's that recipe of a stronger currency and a stronger stock market together that generally tends to attract foreign investors. Of course, Brazil has been plagued by a big outbreak of the coronavirus, and that has obviously helped to stall investment activity. But when we think about the performance of the market on a currency-adjusted basis, well, we can see just how much of a deleterious effect the weak currency has had, and that should reverse if the currency starts to strengthen again. So there's the clear potential that we are looking at a new commodity-led bull market, and the linchpin of that will be the dollar. And we had some steadying in the dollar last week, and I think that was more about some positioning ahead of the Fed meeting than any other factor. And it is unlikely to persist if the Federal Reserve doesn't give us some clear verbiage on what to that they're going to taper significantly. I just don't believe that that is going to be on the cards in the near term, at least. So with that, I think I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.